Hello and welcome to Pod Rights, a series of podcasts from the Australian Human Rights Commission. I'm Graham Innes, the Disability Discrimination Commissioner. Today, yes, we're breaking news on Pod Rights. Sex Discrimination Commissioner Elizabeth Broderick released her second report on the review into the treatment of women at the Australian Defence Force Academy on behalf of the Australian Human Rights Commission. And so we've asked Liz to come into to Pod Rights and to talk about that report on the day of the launch. Liz, welcome back to Pod Rights.
Thanks very much, Graham.
So this is the report on the second phase of the review into the treatment of women in the Australian Defence Force. What was the first phase, and can you briefly summarise its findings for us?
Yes, the first phase, Graham, was a really detailed look into ADFA, which is the Australian Defence Force Academy.
Yeah, and I actually think I said that in my introduction, but that was the first report, wasn't it?
That's right, and that was tabled in the Parliament in the 3rd of November last year, 2011. Mm-hmm. And really, we found that for most women, most of the time, ADFA was a pretty good place. Mm. But we did make a number of recommendations which were designed to increase the level of supervision of cadets, particularly in the first years, mm-hmm. Which was designed to increase and make more effective the education around sexual ethics, because it was almost a sense of death by PowerPoint, the training around equity and diversity. So we made some quite strong recommendations in that area. We made recommendations in relation to leadership and strong leadership in ADFA, and the processes that would happen if there were further sexual assaults and sexual harassment. So it was a detailed look, but in summary, for most women, most of the time, it was a good place.
Yeah, sure. And I think we actually spoke about that on Pod Rights late last year. So this report takes it wider, though, doesn't it? It goes to the entire Defence Force. Is that right? Yeah,
that's exactly right. It's the most extensive review of its kind. Mm. And we were charged with looking at the treatment of women across the Army, across the Air Force, and across the Navy. So it was a very, very expansive review.
Mm. It's a big job, isn't it? Or it has been a big job. When you accepted the appointment to head this review and to produce these reports, what were your thoughts? You must have had some formative views on how you were going to approach it.
Yeah, it was a very comprehensive review. And I suppose for me, the important thing was that it not be a desk-based analysis of policies and documents, but that we really got out as widely as we possibly could. And just to give you an example around that, Graham, we travelled over the last 12 months to 36 military bases around Australia. Mm. We went up into deployed environments such as Afghanistan, and we actually travelled out to what they call forward operating bases, which are those bases which are beyond the wire, so out in Oregon province, in the mountains and valleys of Oregon province. Mm. We went to the United Arab Emirates, we spent time in the Pentagon, we connected with troops up in East Timor, so it was very extensive, and what we tried to do was to connect with the most vulnerable in the system.
Mm. So is that what, and you would know this, Liz, what you call in the Defence Force getting boots on the ground for the report?
Definitely getting boots on the ground. Yeah. Boots in the air, boots on the ground, boots under the water and on the top of the sea.
So what methodology did you follow in terms of putting the report together?
Well, there's two areas, really. So we had qualitative research, and as I said, we went to all those areas. When we got there, we would talk to troops. So we ran many focus groups, hundreds of focus groups. We also spoke individually and often confidentially with individuals who requested that we do that. Mm-hmm. So that was really the qualitative part of the analysis. We then used two surveying tools to do the quantitative part. And one of the interesting things about that was that one of the surveys compared the prevalence of sexual harassment in the military with the Australian community and Australian workplaces more generally. And I think the Australian military is one of the only militaries that I know around the world who's been prepared to actually participate in that research. So I think it's a very important step forward.
Mm. And you talk about we. There was a team, wasn't there, Liz? How was that put together?
There was. So I led a review panel, but on the review panel we really had people with deep expertise. Mark Ney, who was an ex-assistant commissioner of police, so mm-hmm. he understood control and command environments well. We had Sam Mostyn, who was the first female commissioner of the AFL and yep. has done a lot of cultural change in financial services and other male-dominated areas. Mm. We had Marion Baird, one of Australia's leading academics on work and family. Mm-hmm. And also we had Damien Powell, who was very important, particularly in the ADFA review, because he runs one of the largest colleges at Melbourne University right. and has looked at residential colleges and the issues there over many years.
Mm. As well as a team of sort of researchers and staff working on the review.
That's exactly right. We yeah. had, you know, it fluctuated depending on mm. what our needs were, but we needed people who had good analytical skills, who understood gender, the area of gender well, yep. who also statisticians to kind of, particularly around the quantitative data. Mm-hmm. So it required a whole range of skills, researchers. Mm. It was a really multidisciplinary team, but a team that hung together well, and I think produced a good outcome.
Now, this report that you've launched today, it's a part of a suite of reviews into the Defence Forces announced by the Minister in the wake of the Skype scandal. So let's turn sort of now to what it did. How did you address sexual harassment, violence and abuse in the review?
Well, our review, I suppose, that was one of the elements that we looked at, but mm-hmm. the review was much broader than that. It was almost like, what would it take to get a female chief of the Australian Defence Force?
Oh, yeah.
So what were the career progression paths for women, the issues around balancing work and family, occupational segregation, those things. But we did also look at sexual harassment and sexual abuse.
I want to come to those other things in a minute, but I was just breaking off sexual harassment and sexual abuse. Yeah.
Well, because, I mean, it was important that when we look at the Defence Force, if we are going to increase the representation of women, that we build an inclusive culture.
Yep.
And that is a culture which has no sexual violence as part of it. Mm. I mean, there's no question, there are inherent risks in being a member of a Defence Force. Sexual harassment and sexual abuse should never be one of those.
No.
So what we did is, when we did hear distressing stories, and we heard quite a number, on occasion I facilitated a meeting directly between the chief of a service and the complainant or the woman that I was speaking to.
So that's Navy, Army
or Air Force.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I think, Graham, it would be one of the most important things that we did during the review, and that was to bring two human beings together who yep. both cared deeply about the ADF.
Yep.
One who'd had a good experience and one who had, you know, really suffered and significant personal loss as part of serving, but to share that experience and to, in a sense, get a deeper engagement from the chiefs about the issues they needed to fix if they were to create the Defence Force, which is inclusive of women.
So what a great opportunity to address the issues for the individual, but also focus those high-level people on the systemic issues.
That's exactly right. It is about the individual, but it's about fixing the system.
Mm.
And in fact, you know, without the courage of those people who stepped forward and were prepared to do that, because it's traumatic, it takes immense courage.
Mm.
But without that, I don't think we would have seen the deep engagement of the chiefs of a Defence Force that I've seen over the last 12 months.
And so good on those people for doing that, because, I mean, it does take immense courage. Anyone lodging a complaint in almost any system takes courage, but to do that in a system like this, it would be an incredibly difficult thing to do. So
It was very difficult. I sat in with every interview.
Mm.
And also for that individual to hear the chief of the Defence Force or the chief of an individual service
yep.
just say how sorry he was. But not only that you know, that should never happen to anyone. That actually was good for individuals to hear that, because
for a number of them,
no one had ever said sorry for what happened to
them. Yeah. Well, that's great. Now, as you said earlier, Liz, this wasn't the main focus of the review, was it? Your findings and recommendations address the issue of work and family, workplace flexibility issues, as well as women's representation or the number of women in the Defence Force. Can you tell us about the review in relation to work and family first?
Yeah, work and family was a very important issue, Graham, and it wasn't just for women, it was also for men. Mm. I mean, we talk about the difficulties of balancing paid work and a career when we're in an office or even working in a mine site. Mm. But when you're in the Navy, for example, and 7 months of a year, you'll be actually deployed on a ship, to try and integrate work and family is quite difficult. By no means impossible, and we made a number of recommendations around that. But I think we got the clear message from really talented women particularly that they felt they had to make a choice, and that choice was career or family. And we really wanted to shift that paradigm from kind of I have to make a choice between the ADF or a family to ADF and family. That's really where we're trying to get to.
Yeah. And what about the way women are viewed generally in the Defence Force? Recruitment, retention and career paths are significant areas that you addressed, and you made some significant and arguably slightly controversial recommendations in relation to these areas. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, you're right on that, because one of the very deeply held views by, and particularly women in the Australian Defence Force, is that identical treatment will deliver them equality with men. So don't treat us any differently. Yep. Don't single us out. We just want to fit in and be treated the same as everyone else. Mm. And that approach works, the research quite clearly shows, where the playing field is level. Mm. So where the practice or system is not deeply entrenched in a male norm.
Yep.
But where that doesn't exist, then identical treatment will lead to greater inequality. Mm. For example, women and men's life cycles are different. Women have children, men don't. Mm. The fact that women have to then incorporate that childbearing at the same time as they're building a career may require them to have different treatment at different times. Mm. And we did make some, what I think will be quite controversial, but absolutely necessary recommendations related to targets. So, for example, each chief should set a target for the number of women recruited into their particular service. Mm. They should publicly report against that target every year. Mm-hmm. That there should be a broadening of the promotional gateways. Mm. Because that's the other thing. I've never seen a group of women who plan the conception of their babies down to the day. And that's so that they won't miss out, say, on staff college or whatever it is, because I've only got 4 years to get through staff college. And if I miss that gateway, there's no way I can progress up the ladder in the ADF.
Yeah. It's interesting because that whole conception about equal treatment is key to discrimination in a range of areas. I mean, it's one of the barriers that people with disability face as well. And so I can really relate to what you're saying there. But sometimes those sorts of recommendations, which might be seen by some as more challenging, you do need to get to equality.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the research is quite clear in this area as well, Graham, that without a metric, nothing will change in these couple of areas. So it's been interesting to have the discussions with the senior leadership of the ADF, because I think over the year, there has been a softening of an attitude towards targets. And in fact, the Chief of Army himself came out just a couple of months ago and has announced a target for the number of women that he is going to recruit into the army. And it's quite an aspirational target. Mm. So, I'm seeing good movement in that direction. Our report and our recommendations will encourage that even more.
Yeah. And that's a nice segue, talking about senior leadership, because that was the last question I was going to ask you, and that is, what's the role of the Defence Force leadership in all of this? What recommendations have you made for them?
I think without strong leadership, successful reform will not happen. So we've made some very strong recommendations about the leaders of the organisation owning these reforms, being accountable and held responsible for the implementation of the reforms, and not only that their responsibility is to also evaluate the effectiveness of the reforms. Mm. And a lot of the work that I've been doing as a commissioner across the year is to build engagement with the chiefs and to really work with them so that they see that without their commitment, without their engagement, progress is unlikely. So I feel pretty optimistic and positive about that, Graham.
Well, the report and its recommendations are now in the hands of the government. Where to from here? Is it over for you, or is it over for the ADF?
No, probably unfortunately for them. But no, our terms of reference require us within 12 months of the delivery of the report to go back in and look at how well the recommendations have been implemented and whether or not they're achieving the objectives that, you know, that they were designed to solve. So no, we're there within 12 months to look at how effective the recommendations have been and how effectively they've been implemented.
And that's really important, isn't it, to go back to check, to evaluate, to test progress?
That's exactly right. I mean, I think some of the reforms we've made, and for example, the Women in the ADF report, we've recommended that at the time that the ADF actually files their annual report each year, that they file a companion report, which is a Women in the ADF report, which will include very important data about women's progression and the numbers of sexual assaults, sexual harassment. But I think those things may take a little while to get up and running, but they actually set the foundation for ensuring that over the next 5 years, over the next 10 years, we really make significant progress in the representation of women in Australia's Defence Force.
Which is really the important thing that you want to achieve. Yes. Well, thanks, Liz. You certainly set out that a great sort of map for the future on what is a very important issue, and thanks for talking to us about it on Podrights.
Thanks very much, Graham.
And thanks to all of you listening to Podrights. Remember, this podcast is for you. So if you have a suggestion of someone with whom I should talk or a comment on the podcast, please email me at podrights@humanrights.gov.au or find me and message me on Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Graeme Innes, GraeMeInnes. Also, if you want to engage more on human rights issues, have a look at Tell Me Something idontknow.gov.au, our Something in Common project, where you can read fascinating human rights facts and stories, participate in polls, add your own content, and find out what you can do to advance human rights issues in Australia. And keep your podcatchers ready for the next Podrights in the series, because human rights are for everyone, everywhere, every day. I'm Graeme Innes. Goodbye for now.